Just three minor quick points in terms of Hechsher Kalim. Number one is that the question was raised when we mentioned that there is a concern, especially when kashering for Pesach, that between a pot and the handle there might be a gap and some crumbs, some be'en could get into that gap, in which case Hagala wouldn't work. So the question is, what about if there's no visible gap? Now, they're mechubar through screws or bolts or the like, but you don't see any gap. They're very close and tight. So does one have to still be concerned that there might be chametz in the gap? So Rabbi Willig thought, as we suspected, that there is no need to be concerned for be'en. We only need to be concerned about what the naked eye could see, and if there doesn't seem to be any space for any crumbs that could fall in, then we need not be concerned. Number two relates to Moshe's question, which I'm not going to go into in detail in that, but Avi pointed out to me, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Rabbi Willig also mentioned it once, said that if you, let's say, you roasted meat in a pan without water, and then you cooked milk in that pan. So presumably one would have required libun because this is Isur Abala. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says Hagala spices.
I was going to send it to you, but it wasn't exactly the same case as mine.
Kol Shekin for your case.
There was the Chassam Sofer.
Right.
The Teshuva, which is marked with that exact case.
Yeah, well, the Chassam Sofer is something. The Chassam Sofer is a little different. He's much, much more machmir than this.
Yes.
I think. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is Mekel, and it's Hetera Bala. It turns into Isser. No. Because just like, let's say, a Shvod absorbed a Karban Chatas, and then it turned into Nosar, and then you could do Hagala, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, and the Rashba explains that's because the Blios that went in so deeply, Al Yedei, the only thing that's left after Hagala is such a small amount, and Isser is not Chal on such a small amount, so we don't say the Isser is Chal on that, those small amount of Blios. So too, the small amount of Blios of Basar that remain after you do Hagala, Isser won't be Chal on them. And therefore, even though Lamaisa, what's fascinating is you have Tam Basar going into Chalav. Let's say you decide to use that pot for Milchiks. So you have Tam Basar going into Chalav. But since it's such a small amount, whatever's left after Hagala, it's such a small amount that's left, so Isser won't be Chal on that Basar, so can't create Basar B'Chalav. I don't know if we would follow this on its own, but at least Rabbi Willig mentioned it as a sniff. And finally,
this is where if you roasted meat and then cooked milk, yeah, you wanted to kasher.
Then you wanted to kasher.
So you only have to do Hagala because
it's hetera bala. The meat was hetera bala. And even though when you cooked the milk in it, one would have imagined that all of that meat turned into basar b'chalav. Okay. And finally, one thing I forgot to mention, which is the minhag of washing the kalim in cold water after Hagala is finished. So there is a minhag to do that. There's really two reasons for this. One is that there's a concern that the blios that came out won't go right back in. Now that practically isn't relevant for us because we always kasher either with shishim or eno ben yomo, in which case we don't really care about if the blios go back in. But the second reason that's given, take a look at this is in Siv Zion, and is that it's some type of zecher to Mariko Shtifa of Karbanos, that there they would do Shtifa Bitzonin, and therefore this is not something you need to do. The Hechsher works without it, but it is a minhag to do so. So after you finish doing Hagala, you could take it out of the pot and put it under cold water, or if you're doing Iroi on your sinks, after you're finished doing your Iroi, you should pour cold water on it from the sink. You don't have to, if you're kashering silverware, so you don't have to bother taking out each one at a time. In other words, I could go ahead and put in, you know, fork, knife, spoon, assuming that the water remains boiling. And then after I'm all done, dump everything out into the sink and pour cold water onto it. So that is the minhag.
Interesting. Pour the water right into the pot.
Oh, you could if you just wanted to do one, but it would be a big pain if you were kashering your whole set of silverware for Pesach to have to take out each spoon each time and then put it in the cold water.
If you put it all into that one pot, then you just...
Oh, yeah, when you're done?
Pot, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you pour a little cold water into a pot full of hot boiling pot of water, it's not going to cool it. So I think you're better off straining them out and then putting cold water onto it. Okay, and just interesting. All right, the Rambam mentions this minhag in Hilchos Chametz, but not in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. So I was wondering, maybe because if the minhag is Dumya to Kachim, so it's only going to be when it's similar to Kachim, which is Heterabala. And as we mentioned, the Rambam thinks Chametz is Heterabala. Okay, back to Tevilas Kalim. Just also for planning purposes, Be'ezus Hashem, at the end of the week, we will have a Bechina on Tevilas Kalim and Hechsher Kalim. Since it's a small amount of material, I think the Bechina will be closed book this time. It's not going to be very hard Bechina, and it's going to be almost all mostly multiple choice and straightforward questions, because we're not going to be together to go over it. So that will be ready to Be'ezus Hashem on Thursday, and take it when you're finished. Okay, so continuing in our Tevilas Kalim, and we first thing we need to talk about, part two, is whether Tevilas Kalim is de Oraisa or de Rabbanan. So most of the Rishonim, Monei HaMitzvos, don't count Tevilas Kalim as a mitzvah. The Rambam, for example, doesn't. The Ramban isn't masig on the Ramban. There is one, at the very least, the Smak, says Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi Tes, Lahatvil Kalim, Dechziv, V'chol Asher, Lo Yavo, Ba'esh, Taviru, Ba'mayim, Ach, B'meini, Da'is, Chata. But the fact that most Rishonim or Monei HaMitzvos don't count it as a mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean it's not De'oraisa. And therefore, to figure out whether or not it's De'oraisa, we have to look at the Gemara. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Hamad Beis, asks, what is the source for Tevilas Kalim? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Kol Asher, Yavo, Ba'esh, Taviru, Ba'esh, V'taher, Hosif, Lecha, HaKasif, Tara, Cheres. In other words, why does it need to say Taviru, Ba'esh, V'taher? Obviously, after you do Libun or Hagalah, it's kosher. The Taher teaches me you need an additional Tara process, and what is that? That's Tevilas Kalim. And then the Gemara continues and says that you also see it from Ach b'mei nida yischata, mei nida yischata is mayim shanida tovelas b'hen. And the Gemara says that you really need both of these. It's derech lemichta v'taher, it's derech lemichta b'mei nida, ikasa v'taher ha'v'amina v'tar koldehu. Let's just say it said v'taher, so I would think koldehu. What does koldehu mean? So Rashi says, even a mikvah chaser, which might mean, if you look at Tosfos, a mikvah that's only a revius. We know, as we mentioned yesterday, that the midiraisa, at least for tum and tahara, a mikvah revius for kalim suffices. So you might have thought that if it just said taher, a revius would be enough. No, that's why it needs to say b'mei nida yischata, that you need memsa. And if it just said b'mei nida yischata, have emina harav shemesh kenida, kasav rachmana v'taher la'alter. And the Gemara continues and says, even new kalim need tevila, amar of Nachman, amar rabba ravua, afilu kem chadash b'mashma, d'ha yishanim v'libnan k'chadashim damu, v'afilu hachi ba'u tevila. Assuming you do your Hechsher first, as we talked about yesterday, so then it's like Chadashim, and still you need Tefillah. A parenthetical, interesting question, which we won't get into now, is the Gemara's Kasha Dafka for Libun, right? Or even Hagalah? It says the Gemara's Kasha was Chadashim, Yishanim, the Libnan, Kechadashim. One way or the other, though, the conclusion is that you do need Tefillah's Kalim, and even for new Kalim. If you actually take a look at Rashi al HaTorah, there's a third remez, or reference, to Tevilas Kalim in that pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, "V'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru b'mayim." So according to Rashi, al Torah, taviru b'mayim refers to the May Mikvah. We saw when we did Hechsher Kalim that the Ramban objects. So it would seem, then, that Tevilas Kalim is mid de'oraisa. After all, the Gemara sees it from Sukkim, unless we're going to say, no, perhaps these psukim are nasmachta ba'alma, and it's not de'oraisa. So, if you take a look, The Lashon of Rashi and Avodah Zarah sounds like it's deraisa. He writes it's exer sarkasavi. The Ramban ala Torah is uncertain. He writes, libi maharher, maybe the pasuk is an asmachta. So it sounds like it's deraisa, but he's a little bit unsure. In his chidushim in Avodah Zarah, he though does seem to assume that it is a deraisa. There, it's a dibor mas lehavemina, he asks the question, why is it that you need mem sa? Shouldn't a revia suffice? And that, he writes, he gives three answers. V'yesh lomar tefila zu gzeres hakasav hi v'chol v'kachi gzeres hamelech latzvich arbaim sa. In other words, like Tosfos, that not only is tefilas kelim deraisa, but mem sa is deraisa, and even though it doesn't conform with the regular rules of tefila gzeres hakasav, then he writes, inami asmachta, which l'chora means that tevila is min haTorah, but this pasuk is only an asmachta. The context of the Ramban sounds that way. And then he writes, v'yesh lefarish dechol dehu haynu mayim she'en gufo shel kli ola bahen. Kasav rachmana meinida lo marman nida mayim shekol gufa ola bahen. Dehaynu arbaim sa, af kelim mayim shekol gufan ola bahen lefi ma shehen. Really, in his third answer, he says, no, the truth is, even for tefillas kelim, you only need a revius. What it means, mem says, it means just like for a mikvah, you need a mikvah that, or kelim, you need a mikvah to totally encompass the kli, totally has to surround it. So too, for tefillas kelim, whatever that is, one revius, five revios, 10 revios, in other words, Salka Daitach, that Tvila Koldehu doesn't mean revius, the way Tosus learned it. Tvila Koldehu means not enough to cover the Kli at once. Kamash Malan, no, you need to cover the Kli at once. Why does it say Memsa? Because Midrabanan, they were Mevatel, Tvilas, all Tvila B'mikvah Shel revius. So Ramban is unsure whether Midoraisa you need Memsa for Tvilas Kalim, but he seems to conclude that you definitely do need Tvilas Kalim Midoraisa. Likewise, the Rashba Tshuva Chela Gimel Reishin and Hey writes, Masha Amarta Shetfilas Kelim Medivrei Sofrim Lo Kuli Alma Modim Bo Upashta Deshmaita Deshili Avodah Zarah Hachi Mash Matvei. The Rashba says that the Pashta, so the Gemara, is that we're dealing with a Deraisa, because it talks about Drashos. It doesn't sound like it's an Asmachta. There are, however, some Rishonim who say it's a Derabanan. The Tosfos Rid, which we quoted yesterday, learns it's a Derabanan. And the Rambam is unclear. The Rambam's Lashon is ambiguous, but the simple reading of the Rambam is that it's Derabbanan. The Rambam writes, Tvila zu shemat bilim klei suda hanil kachin min hagayim v'achar kach yutru l'achila v'shtiyah. In other words, this din of Tvila's Kalim that we're talking about, eina l'inyan tuma v'tahara, ela midivrei sofrim. So, divrei sofrim sounds like Derabbanan, maybe. As we know, there are some cases where divrei sofer might be used by the Rambam for deraisa. Then he continues, v'ramazla, again, the lashon of remez sounds like it's derabana, though maybe there are also cases where you have a remez for deraisa. V'ramazla kol davar sher yavo ba'esh. And then he writes something interesting. V'pia shmua lamdu, she'enu medaber ela b'tarasan, midei gi'ule gayim. Lo, midei tuma. Now, the term Mepia Shmua, though, usually refers to Deoraisa, right? Mepia Shmua is usually a Perusha Mekubal, or Halach L'Moshe Misinai here would be a Perusha Mekubal, which means we have a Mesorah that this is what the Pasuk means. So the Kesef Mishnah, the Rashba writes that the Rambam holds its Deoraisa, and the Tshuva Sarashba, and the Kesef Mishnah says, how did the Rashba know that the Rambam held it was Deoraisa? Because the Rambam uses a Lashon of Mepia Shmua. The problem with that is that this term Mepia Shmua isn't explaining why Tevilas Kelim is deoraisa. It's saying Mepia Shmua lamdu she'eno medaber ela b'tarasin midegule gayim. Mepia Shmua we learn that this pasuk is talking about Hechsher Kelim as opposed to just Tara from Tumah. And the Rambam proves it because we don't find that fire is metaher akli. So therefore, what are we talking about in the pasuk? We're talking about the pasuk Hechsher Kalim. That's what's Mipia Shmua. But not that Tevilas Kalim is Mipia Shmua. Tevilas Kalim is Medivrei Sofrim. And like he concludes after he writes Amru Chachamim, Hosef Lucha Tarachares, Acher Ave Raso, Be'esh, latir megile gayim. Right? Tahara achar averaso ba'esh. So again, amru chachamim, which is a lashon of dirabanan. So therefore, the Pri Chadash, among others, says that you see the Rambam holds its dirabanan. However, as I mentioned, the Rashba says the Rambam holds its deraisa. If you look at the footnotes in the fancy Chumash of Rashba, they say it's a typo. It should say Tosofa. It should say Ramban.
Yes, it says that also.
What?
The footnotes in the Beis Yosef also.
Okay, there we go. So the footnote peoples think that it may be the Rashba means Ramban, but the Kesef Mishnah certainly had our Girsa, and he thought it meant Rambam, and he would derive it from Mipi Hashmua. What about my question? Isn't it he's not reading the Rambam properly? Maybe he thought, take a look at the Lamecha Mishnah, you have an idea like this, that why did the Rambam, in bringing us this remez for Tevilas Kelim, have to tell you the Mipi Hashmua for Hechsher Kelim? That's irrelevant for our purposes. So it could be that the pshat is that if you thought that the pasuk was talking about Tum and Tara, in other words, you didn't have the Mipi Hashmua, you followed, let's say, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, so then in a Chanami, there wouldn't be a source for Tfilas Kelim, because we would just think that V'taher and Ach B'meini Da Yischata is referring to Tumma Mitahara, Tara Mitumma. But once we think the pasuk's not talking about Tum and Tara at all, it's talking about Hechsher Kelim, so then V'taher might be referring to Tfilas Kelim. One way or the other, there is a debate as to whether or not the Rambam held it was deraisa or not. The Ran, though, brings another raya that the Rambam must hold its derabanan, not from the Lashon. Let's say the Lashon is ambiguous because, you know, Divrei Sofim is unclear and Remez is unclear and Amru Chachamim is unclear, but from a psak of the Rambam. Why? The Rambam paskins that you don't have to be tovel a mashkon. The Gemara is a vital ifshita. If a Jew has a mashkon of a guy and he wishes to use it, and it's unclear whether or not the guy is going to pay up his loan and get his mashkon back or is going to relinquish the mashkon biyat ha-Yisrael, so it's a vital ifshita in the Gemara, whether or not you need to do tefila. And the Rambam says you don't have to do tefila. So it sounds like, why is he being makel in a vital ifshita? Must be that he holds tefilas kelim is derabanan. That's the proof that the Ran brings. And significantly, the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see, is machmir in that shaila. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to do tefilas kelim on a mashkon. In fact, you have to do it twice. Once when you use it, and once if the guy decides to relinquish it with you, again you have to be tovel it. Because if the first tefila was a tefila b'shashi shiptura, because it's still shaykh to the guy, so then when you get it for real, then you have to do tefila a second time. So it seems like the Shulchan Aruch paskins tefilas kelim is deraisa, and therefore mashkon is chayiv, and the Rambam paskins tefilas kelim is derabanan, and therefore mashkon is pater. So those, like the Kesef Mishnah and the Rashba, perhaps, who learn mashkon is deraisa, how are they going to get out of this question? Isn't the Ran's proof definitive? So Rav Stav has a yesod that even though we say Safek deraisa l'chumra, and there's different proofs to this one from Hilchos Shechita, we say Safek medivrei sofrim, even if it's a divrei sofrim, that's deraisa, is l'kula. Why that is for another time. So that might be. In other words, even if it's deraisa according to the Rambam, it's definitely medivrei sofrim. And therefore, Safek is l'kula. And that might be also why the Rambam doesn't paskin it in the Sefer Mitzvos. The fact that the Rambam didn't count Tfilas Kelim as a mitzvah is not a raya for anything. First of all, because it's not a raya that he holds its lav deraisa, because it's definitely not Mefurish Bakra, right? One of the rules for Sefer HaMitzvos is that it has to be the Pshuto Shel Mikra, more or less. And this is Midifrei Sofrim, and therefore it doesn't belong in Sefer HaMitzvos, even if you're going to argue it's Midiraisa. Fine. So, Bekitzer, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not Tfilas Kelim is Deraisa, and as we'll see shortly, most Rishonim, most Poskim, seem to assume that it is Midiraisa, and that is the Halacha. However, not all Kelim are Chayv and Tfilas Kelim Midiraisa. The Gemara says that Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Zavan Mana Demarda Me'akum, so he bought some type of earthenware kli from a guy, Savar lahatvila. Amar lei ha'humei rabbanon Reb Yaakov Shmei ledidim ifshalimineh de Reb Yochanan kli matchos ha'amurim beparsha. So the only things mentioned in the Torah are kli matachos. It actually delineates the six main metals, and therefore only kli mataches requires tefila. However, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Avashi hani klei zchuches ha'ol v'chinish dabru yeshlam takana kekli matchos dami. Glassware, since if they break, they could be fixed by fusing it through heat. So therefore, they're similar to mataches, meaning to say they share a certain property that metal has. Metal could be fused through heat. So too, glass can be fused through heat if it breaks.
Is this another raya for the shitas that say that it's very similar to tumah?
Since you mentioned, the Meiri actually makes that point sort of the opposite way. The Gemara in Shabbos Tes Vav Amud Beis writes that Rabbanan Gazru Tumah al Kleis Chuches Mishum Dehoel V'Tchilas B'Yasan Minachol, so Shavinu Rabbanan Kekli Cheres. So maybe you'll say that Shavinu Rabbanan Kekli Cheres, they shouldn't require Tevilas Kelim. So you take up the Meiri in Avodah Zarah, Dimas Mikol, he writes that some say that Kleis Chuches don't need Tevilah, because of the Gemara and Shabbos. In other words, it's a machlokas between the Gemara and Shabbos, Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara and Shabbos says that that Zchuchas is like Cheres. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah says that Zchuchas is like Mataches, and therefore you should be tovel without a bracha to Safek. That's the psak of the Meiri. In other words, the Meiri, and at least this Yesh Omer in the Meiri, assumes again that we equate with Tumah to learn halachos. However, we don't paskin this way. And one reason why we might not paskin this way is because we think, no, that's l'inyan tumah v'tahara, and this is l'inyan tefilas kelim, and they're two separate parshios. And the halacha, of course, we paskin that glass is chayv in tefilah, and one should certainly make a bracha. However, there's a question whether it's d'oraisa or not. If you take a look at the Dark Yeshuva, Sifkat M'chaf Aleph, he cites, some say it's mid-oraisa. In other words, those who say that glass is mid-oraisa understand that even though the pasuk delineated six metals, that was not an exhaustive list, but rather they were examples of kalim that share a certain property, and that property is fusibility through heat, and therefore anything that's fusible through heat is chayef. After all, the Gemara doesn't say anything about this being a takana or a derabanan. However, Rov Poskim, take a look at the Pri Chadash, Sifkat and Gimel, rule that Kli Zechuches is only Derabanan and not Midoraisa, and that is in fact the way we paskin. So we paskin that you make a bracha, not like the Meiri, after all, we make brachos on mitzvos Derabanan, like in Erev Chanukah, but it is Chayv and Tevilah only Midrabanan. Are there any nafkaminas whether generally tefilas kelim is deraisa derabanan, or specifically between kelim that are deraisa versus derabanan? So a couple of nafkaminas. One we already mentioned, which is what's the halacha in the sveika d'dina. If you hold that it's a din deraisa, you'll be machmir in the sveika d'dina. So an example of that would be mashkon, like we said. And that's why Tosfos on the Gemara says that mashkon is an abaydah lo'ev shetah, we're machmir. And the Rambam, assuming he holds it's the Rabbanan, is Meiko, because he holds it's a Safek de Rabbanan. Likewise, if you take a look, the Pischei Tshuva writes concerning Shal Klime Chavero. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Ches and the Shach Sif Katan Tezayin writes that if the Yisrael doesn't take it from the guy Letzarch Suda, let's say the example of Shulchan Aruch is that I buy a knife from a guy to cut paper with or cloth with, and then my friend borrows it from me and he wishes to use it to cut his apple. So does he have to do Tevilas Kelim on that knife? So this is a Machlokas HaPoskim, and the Pischei Tshuva writes that Sifkat and Tess, that, well, since it's a machlokas, we could be makel for dinim de rabbanan, and therefore if it's a glass kli, one wouldn't have to do tefillah, but one should be machmir for din de raisa. So let's say I buy scissors, and it's a type of scissors for now, let's assume, that could be used either for food or for paper. I decide to use my scissors for construction paper, so I don't have to do tefillah. I lend it to you, so you want to use these scissors to cut food. So do you have to do tefillah or not? So the bottom line halacha, according to the Pischei Tshuva, is if they're metal scissors, you would have to do tefillah. But, you know, Moshe probably has glass scissors since he has porcelain knives, so he wouldn't have to do tefillas kalim. Okay, so that's an example of a nafka mina, whether something is derais or derabanan. Ah, another example, right? There's a machlokas whether you could be tovel in snow. Do we see snow at... Snow definitely can create a mikvah if it melts. The question is, as long as it's... when it's still not melted, is there chibor between the various snowflakes and the like? So the Pischei Tshuva writes that b'shas adchak, at least for glass, you could be mekel. For metal, you should be machmir, again, because glass is a din derabanan. Another great example. So there are many examples of this phenomenon. Now, what about if a person is unsure whether they toveled or not? So maybe I'll say, well, if I you know, this happens to me all the time. Just the other day, I couldn't remember if I toveled something. So now, maybe I'd say, well, if it's metal, so I should say safik l'chumra, and if it's glass, I could say safik l'kula. However, we're here, we'd probably say, no, even if it's glass, you're chayv to do it, because it could be rectified, as we talked about earlier in Yoreh Deah, that when it comes to either a bittel berov, we're machmir for davar sheyesh lamatirin. Likewise, if you have a tarovis of kalim and rov were tvulim and one wasn't, or likewise, if you have a safek, so we're machmir even a derabanan for davar sheyesh lamatirin. So tefillas kalim is davar sheyesh lamatirin, you could fix it. Even though we saw the Rashba said, and it's paskin by the Mechaber, that hechsher kalim might not be davar sheyesh lamatirin because there's a lot of hefzid involved, you have to use wood and the like, and even that, we saw the Shach and others didn't like that, but l'chara tefillas kalim, at least under normal circumstances, there's no great hefzid involved, and b'makom safik, even if it's glass, one should be tovel, obviously without a bracha.
So why would we ever say safik derabanan l'kula, like in the...
Because there's a difference between a sveka dedina. This klal, davar sheyesh lamatirin, was not said concerning a sveka dedina, it was said concerning a safik and metzias. Okay, fine. Nafkamina number, so that was nafkamina number one, sveka dedina. Nafkamina number two is ne'manus of a katan. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Yod Dalid, in the name of the Trumas Hadeshen, that we don't believe katanim for tefillah. Why? Because tefillas kalim is midiraisa, that's the way we paskin, and katanim are not ne'man for dinim deraisa. However, katanim are ne'man, generally speaking, for dinim derabanan. Right, the Trumas Hadeshen quotes the Gemara Pesachim, Dalet Amud Beis, Hemnu Rabbanan B'Derabbanan. So, as long as it's B'Adam. So, can you send your kid, your 9-year-old kid, to the mikvah to be Tovel Kalim? So, if it's Kalim Shechayavim B'Tfilim B'Deraisa, the answer is no. If it's Kalim, if it's glass, so then maybe we should say yes, because it's B'Adam. And that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Shulchan Aruch points out. Maybe, even though Shulchan Aruch says we don't believe katana, maybe that should only be for metal, but for glass, they should be believed. Then, Kiva Eger's uncertain because it's less of a shlichos. The Pischei Tshuva, though, as we mentioned yesterday, quotes the Prima Gadim that says maybe they shouldn't be believed because of the Cheskas Isser. And that's what we talked about yesterday, that the Aruch HaShulchan argues that there is no Cheskas Isser. The Mishnah Berurah says maybe Cheskas Isser doesn't even matter if it's still biyado. Therefore, the bottom line is many poskim say that you can believe a katan for tevila derabanan. If you want to take a look at the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perak Lamed Beis, if Samach Beis, old version, sorry, that a katan is neman for tevilas kleis chuches, and that's the halacha. However, you could argue that it's not a good idea. We'll get back to this a little later, because then the gadol's mafsid his mitzvah. After all, he's chayv in a mitzvah of tefillas kalim, and even though the tefillas kalim of the katan is effective, there is no shlichus, so it will work, but he's lost his chance to do a mitzvah. The katan could make a bracha, That svara comes up even more in terms of having a guy do it. A guy obviously would not be believed as well. Bein b'deraisa, bein b'derabanan. However, as we mentioned yesterday, we paskin like the Shach and the Taz that the tefillah of a guy would work. However, it's inadvisable, the Taz points out, because you lose your chance to do a bracha. The Taz says if you do one and then the guy does the rest, then that's okay. We'll talk about that when we get to the brachos issues. Okay. So that's what we're going to get to. In other words, the Taz thinks that the issue is only bracha, seems like, not mitzvah. At least he doesn't see each individual kli, which is an interesting point. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So far we talked about metal and glass. What about other types of materials? So the next question is aluminum pans. For now, we'll get to the issue of disposable later. Now, we'll leave that out. Let's say a permanent aluminum pans. So are they chayev or not? So here we basically have a question about how to read the psukim. The psukim, as we mentioned, list six types of metals: zahav, kesef, nechoshes, barzel, bedil, and ofares. Is that the exhaustive list? The pasuk doesn't say you should be tovel metal. The pasuk says you should be tovel these six types of metals. Or do we say no, that these are six examples of metals, but other materials that share the same properties, like they're malleable, they conduct heat, and so on and so forth. You'd have to pick which properties. So we saw some even extend that to glass. But even if we say no, it definitely doesn't include glass, midiraisa, but maybe it would include aluminum, which is obviously much more similar in its properties to glass, to metal, to zav, kesef, etc., than glasses. So the Tiferes Yisrael, yeah.
Might it also be possible to say that it's not exactly divided into different elements, but bedil might include aluminum?
I've never heard that. Why would bedil include aluminum? Tin and aluminum are similar. People call aluminum tin, but people say tin foil.
That's because the foil is being added.
But right, but there's no such.
But I don't know how old aluminum is.
So let's assume for the what do you say? Okay, so the Metzias is that aluminum did not exist until recently. And aluminum and tin are two separate things. So the question is, what's halacha? So the Tiferes Yisrael, in his Hakdama to Seder Taros, which is known as Yevakesh Das, Os Mem Dalid, writes that there's a dispute. He quotes the Gra as saying these six metals are dafka, and he himself thinks no, they're lav dafka, and anything that he says is anything that's nirka bepatish, Nikra mateches umekabel tuma. So if it's malleable through banging on a hammer and the like, and that common property is sufficient to say that it's mekabel tuma. Now, there's two questions then. Number one, the question is, do we paskin like the Gra or the Tiferes Yisrael? Number two is, even if we, we paskin like the Gra, would the same, that's a machlokas concerning Kabbalah's Tumah, and it's not a machlokas concerning Tefillas Kelim, is there a difference between Kabbalah's Tumah and Tefillas Kelim, or perhaps they're the same thing? And I guess question number three is, even if you were to argue it's Pater Midiraisa, is it Chayiv Midirabanan? So those are the three questions we have to consider. So, in terms of the first question, do we paskin like the Gra, the Tiferes Yisrael? There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe that's talking about Kohanim going on airplanes. The problem, as you all know, is that the airplanes go over cemeteries, or might go over cemeteries. So is there a concern that this exists? So there's a long tshuva about it. But one of the tzadim that Rav Moshe has, Lahakel, which he seems to accept, is that an airplane is made out of plastic and aluminum, more or less. And he thinks, well, it's not mekabel tuma, plastic and aluminum, and therefore there'll be mafsik between the kever and the kohen sitting inside, right? So you don't have to put yourself in a plastic bag when you go on an airplane. And you're allowed to, I'm not talking about sitting next to women, but at least you can, you don't have to put yourself, and that's
there.
That's the question. I'm saying, Tumas Kohanim, a plastic bag isn't needed. Okay, so that's what Rav Moshe says. Maybe there's a letter from Rav David Feinstein. He says maybe he paskin that only as a sniff. He didn't paskin it fully, but that Rav Moshe accepts, seems to accept at least a sniff and maybe entirely a Shitas Hagra, who holds that it's dafka these six metals and not anything else. And Rav Moshe, in a different shuva, writes that a very, very powerful argument for this. He writes, Demima shenakat akra sheish matchos b'shem oseihem v'lo nakat klal kol matchos muchrachin lomar d'dafka hani mekablin tuma v'tzrichin tvila v'lo kelim meminim acherim da Torah shenitna mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu harei hu bara es kol minei hamatchos sheba'olam af elu shelo yadu ha'inshe v'im hayu b'din tuma v'tvila lo haya lihikare prat le'elu. That's from Yardaya Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Beis. Meaning to say, he's not saying that the Torah should have said, you know, B'dil Ofaris V'Aluminium, but he's saying that if the Torah meant all types of metals, so it should have said, Klei Matchos. And the fact that the Torah, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about aluminum, and the fact that the Torah was Mefaret, these six specific ones, so that tells us that the list is exhaustive, and therefore aluminum should not be mekabel tuma. So Rav Moshe then also, so Rav Moshe seems to have two kulas. Number one, he thinks we pass in like the Gra. Number two, it would seem that he equates the issue of Kabbalah's tuma plus Tvilas Kalim. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a letter in the back of the Tvilas Kalim book, argues that even if you think that they're not mekabel tuma like the Gra, they'll still be chayv Tvilas Kalim Midaraisa. Ayin Sham. But that's Rav Moshe's view. So what about the third question? So here Rav Moshe says, no, at the very least, they're chayiv midrabanan. Why? Lo gara from klei zchuchis. Just like klei zchuchis, we say you're chayiv midrabanan because they could be fused with heat. Kol shekein, clay aluminium, can be fused with heat. And therefore, a aluminum kalim will be chayiv midrabanan. Now, there's a question that you could ask on that approach, which is that if so, so they should be chayiv midrabanan on a plastic, which Rav Moshe I don't think holds of. In other words, once you're going to say that the din derabanan of zchuchas applies to anything that's fusible, so maishna aluminum, maishna plastic, Rav Moshe seems to split it and say, well, aluminum is chayiv midrabanan, but plastic is pater. So there are, and we'll get back to this when we talk about plastic shortly, there are three views then when it comes to aluminum. Some hold aluminum is chayiv tefilas kelim midaraisa. Some say it's pater even midrabanan, because they say midaraisa, it's just these six. And the rabanan, it's not included in the gzeira, the din rabanan of glass, because that gzeira was made dafka on glass, not on anything like glass. Right? Doesn't include plastic, even though plastic also can be fused with heat. And so too, it wouldn't apply in aluminum. And then there's the middle view of Rav Moshe, who holds that it's chayiv midrabanan. Lemaisa, one should be tovel permanent aluminum kalim, though one might wish to do it without a bracha, or try to do it with other kalim that are chayiv to make a bracha. One of the things you see derech agav that the Shach points out is that when one has a case of safek tevila, it is preferable to try to do it along with kalim with a bracha. So Chassidim can do your method of having a whole box of forks that are not tovel. So every time you have a safek, you can bring it. I don't know if one is chayiv to go that far, but if one can, one should try to do it with a bracha. The Gemara discusses what's the halacha about clay kunya. What are clay kunya? So let's say you have a wooden kli. Wood does not require tefila. That's coated in metal, or plated in metal. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says, do we say dino ketchilaso, and therefore it doesn't need tefillah, because originally it was just a wooden kli. Or kesofo, since it was plated, so then you do need tefillah. And the Gemara concludes, Vilchos ha-kesofo v'chayev b'tefillah. Now, Rashi sounds like we're talking about there a kli cheres ha-mitzupe be'ever, both mitzupe on the inside and on the outside, which would then lead one to wonder, what's the halacha if it's only mitzupe on the inside or only on the outside, according to Rashi? Tosfos over there, Divras v'Hilchasa, writes that it depends. If it's only mitzupe mibachutz, it doesn't need tefillah. However, if it's mitzupe mibifnim, you do. Why would you have had a havamina that mitzupe mibachutz is chayv in tefillah? Says Rav Moshe, maybe we would say you go basar hamaimid. We talked about this yesterday. Not l'chora, not everything that's mitzupe will automatically be a maimid, but sometimes the tzipoy is a functional tzipoy. It leads, gives the kli integrity, it helps, it serves its function, right? An example of a maimid that we said yesterday was a barrel that's made out of wood with metal belts that hold it together. A modern example of a maimid would be a plastic baby spoon where the, not all baby spoons, some baby spoons are all plastic, but very frequently you have baby spoons where they're metal and the handle will be metal. The part that comes in contact with the baby and with the food is rubber coated so that the baby doesn't hurt her gums or the like. So that would be an example. There, it would be a maimid, right? In other words, what's holding the kli together, what's giving it its strength, its integrity, is the metal. But what is the part of the kli that's actually touching the food? That's only the plastic or the rubber part. You also have this like with mixing spoons or the like. What's the halacha? So Tosfos would say your potter. That would be equivalent to the example of a kli that is coated on the inside on the outside with metal and on the inside with the wood or with cheres or the like. And the Tosa says, in these cases, you're pater. However, not everybody agrees to Tosfos. The Mordechai has a number of other opinions. He quotes first the Maharam, She'af emitzupe rak mi b'chutz chai b'tvila, o mishum de'af gabe tvilas kele mazlinan basa davra maimid, kamol inyan tuma. So that we talked about yesterday, right? The Maharam was of the opinion that we do equate Tvilas Kalim with Tumah V'Taharas Kalim, and therefore we extrapolate from Dine Tumah V'Tahara to Tvila. Number two is the Rabya, O Mipnei Shelo Chilku Chachamim B'Davar, the Kol Shechelik Me'akli Nasa Mimateches, so the whole Kli is Chayev. And number three, Rabbeinu Peretz, who says you should be Tovol without a Bracha. L'chora, Misafek, what should you do? And the Shach, Sifkan Dalet, Paskins like Rabbeinu Peretz. So, therefore, we Paskin that even if it's only mitsupe on the outside with metal, or it's a maimid, like in the case of the plastic baby spoon, one should do Tvilas Kalim without a bracha. So yesterday, I showed Rabbi Willig my coffee mug. My coffee mug is plastic. It's basically, the way it was made was there was a plastic kli, right, which was a fully functional cup, and then on the outside there's a stainless steel kli. So I tried to argue that here everybody would agree it should be pater from tevila. Why? Because these were two independent kalim before they were merged, and the plastic kli was fully functional as a kli. You could still do it. Once this happened to me, one, I had such a cup, and the glue came apart, and the plastic kli got separated from the metal stainless steel kli, and you could still use it. You could still use it for a hot cup, you could still use it for a cold cup. So why did they bother with the stainless steel? Because by having two layers, it serves as insulation and it keeps your hot drink hotter for a longer period of time. So I try to argue that this is not a maimid. Maimid means that it gives functionality to the inner kli. Like the inner kli wouldn't work without it. But here, it's true, it serves as insulation. but it's a perfectly good kli, even without the metal stainless steel thing on the outside. So still very willing to say, no, even a we're choshesh at least, obviously tefillah without a bracha, but we would be choshesh that the fact that it serves a purpose, in this case, to keep the drink warmer, would be a type of maimed, and one should do tefillah without a bracha.
Isn't that case in the Taz, that exact case, where the inside of the kli is higher than the outside of the kli, and the outside is made out of metal?
Yeah, but maybe that was a maimed. It held it together. Maybe it would fall apart without it. In other words, a lot of times, let's say if they're talking about a cheres kli, so maybe it was thin or breakable or the like, and the metal held it together. My mashenkin, in my case, the metal wasn't holding it together.
So what's the...
What's the logic?
No. What's the line between, I guess, significant enough metal on the outside? Meaning some kelim are embroidered on the outside.
Now, if it's just decorative, then I don't think you need to. If it's just decorative on the outside, the Ramah talks about decorative on the inside. It's interesting. Like, we always think of outside decoratives. He talks about what's the din by decorative on the inside. If they were more, it's like the Mishkan. But anyway, but if it's just decorative on the outside and it's not serving any function other than decoration, then I don't think you need to do tefillah. If you take a look, the Ran in Avodah Zarah quotes an Ikaman de Amr that Dafka Mechupa Lagamrei, that if it's not Mechupa Lagamrei, you don't need a bracha. The Beis Yosef quotes it from the Smak. And therefore, he writes that if it's lenoi on the inside, you should do tefillah below bracha. Right? But I think it's a chiddush to say that if it's mitzvah only on the outside and only for decoration, that it would be chayv and tefillah without a bracha. You could say yes. You could say that if you held like the raviyah, that this is like a low plug, then maybe it would still require tefillah. But I don't think we would go that far. I think even Rav Willig agreed that it would need to in some way be considered a maimid, even if it's only a maimid for keeping the heat.
Wait, but do we pass it? Sorry, if it's lenoi on the inside?
Lenoi on the inside is still tefillah without a bracha. Okay. Right, lemaisa, mitzupe mibifnim, the Mechaber, not Lanai. So then the Mechaber says with a bracha, and the Ramah says without a bracha, and that's where we pass in. According to Mitzupa Mibachot, so the Pashtus is the Mechaber says you don't need tefillah at all, but the Ramah maybe says you need tefillah, and the Shach says you definitely need tefillah. Okay. Next, a porcelain or china, does that need tefillah? So the first thing we have to do, why is it even a shayla? It's a shayla because certain types of china were mitsupe mibachotz with, well, maybe fnim, I guess not. There, on top of the china plate had a thin glass layer on it. So even though the china itself is kli cheres, but it has a thin glass layer on it. According to Wikipedia, one type of porcelain known as soft cast porcelain is produced by combining clay and powdered glass or frit, and it's called Frittenplatzen, and different frita in Germany and in Spain, and in English it's pate tendre. I don't know, anyway. So the point is that that there is some type of glass glaze on certain types of china. So this is another example of kunya. So the first question we have to figure out is maybe the whole discussion that we've had until now about a kli that's mitsupa was only if it's mitsupa with metal, but not glass. So if you take a look at the shach, sif katan base from the Isser V'Heter, he writes, no, that mitsupa b'schuchas is like mitsupa b'matachas. And that's also the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. And it comes out from Rabbeinu Tam and Tosafot of Zohar Lamed Gimel on the base, that mitzupa b'schuchas is also chayv. Not everybody agrees. If you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkan base from the Yaivit, that even that mitzupa b'schuchas is pater. Why? Because en lahem takana im nishperu, in nishperu. Meaning to say as follows. Let's take a mat. Now, if you have non-breakable china, so fine. That's not even a shayla. But for the rest of us who have breakable china, so if you break your plate, so there's no way to reconstitute it al yidei heat. And even though glass is the type of material that can be merged al yidei heat, but this thin layer of glass that's on top of your porcelain, on top of your china, you can't fuse that back together. There's no way. I mean, you could glue it together, but that's not fusing it together, right? You can't fuse it together. And therefore, the Yaivit said, since ein lam takana b'nishberu, so ein sarch tefila. In other words, he understood, and this is a very interesting question, what we'll see other applications of this as well, like when we talk about Karel. The Gemara said that anything that's glass is chayiv, let's say midrabanan, because you could fuse it al yaday heat. What about if you have a type of glass that can't be fused through heat? So one example of that we said is, we'll jump ahead, is Karel. Why? Karel is basically glass. It's three layers of glass on top of each other, and they're sort of put in different directions, so that's what makes it nearly unbreakable. So on the one hand, you would say it's chayv and tefila. It's basically just glass. On the other hand, maybe you'll say it's pater from tevila because it's non-fusible. And the reason given for the chiv of glass is not relevant here. This is sort of similar to the question of plastic or aluminum, but not the same. So, yeah.
I thought that the extra metakno was that you're able to melt the entire kli and then remake it. Not that you're able to stick the piece of that together.
You mean you like put the whole thing back in the oven and remake it?
Yeah, and like
that's
like,
latakno.
Like
that's not
like
latakno.
Like your testover.
That's kelim panim chadashes balokan. I don't think latakno means to be misakin what I have, not to start from scratch.
What's the difference between that and metal?
You can both glass and metal share the property that you could be misakin it by fusing the pieces together with heat.
So what's the difference in
there is no difference in that respect between glass and. It's not true for cheres, because cheres, that's what the Yaivitz points out, for china. Because china is, let's say, 70% cheres, and then the top 30% is glass. I'm making up numbers. So, practically speaking, when that kli breaks, can you fuse it? No, because you can't fuse cheres together. So, mimela, it's pater from tevila, because the reason to be machayev glass is irrelevant over here.
But it's the same thing with any tzipui, if you have a cheres with...
Ah, you're saying that if you have cheres with metal, that should be true as well.
Metal, you don't have to be able to fix it. Metal is five, there's it.
Ah, okay, I think that's a good answer. There's metal, so there's a difference.
Kind of
no, there's metal, the tar says you have to do metal. It doesn't matter what, which, even if you have metal that's non-refusable, that's irrelevant. Torah says you have to do metal. You have to do metal. Glass is only chayiv because it shares that property that metal usually has, and therefore if it lacks that shared property, so then it's going to be pater. At least that's what the Yaivitz argues. I'll read you, take a look. It's in Pischei Tshuva, Sifchat and Beis. Kelim abayim in medina sayam shenikrim porcelain v'domen l'klei zchuchis ein srichen tvila lefi shiyadua shasiyasan min achol umin ha'adama v'klimat chosamorim b'parsha v'af agav de shiitve les lan ba deha kliz chucha shiitve minayu v'ilav mishum dechi nishberu yesh lahem takana lahaticham mishum hachi keklimat choshavin hu hayu srichen tvila v'hani les lahu takana. I said it wrong. Maybe we have to look at the Yaivitz inside, which I didn't do. Now when I reread the Yaivitz, I think I was just remembering it wrong. He doesn't say it the way I said it. He's saying that maybe you should be mechayev porcelain alts, purely alts glass, because it's a glass-like material. Right? It's shi'i, and it looks like glass, and it feels like glass. It's not clear like glass, but it's very similar to glass. And he says no, because les lu takana. But that would be true even if it was made out of the same material as glass. For the Ivets, it wouldn't matter, because since Laslo Takana, it would be Potter. Right? So this is a second interesting Yaivitz concerning glass. We had an interesting Yaivitz for Hachshir Kelim for glass, and now we have one for Tfilas Kelim. So I got the different opinions confused. So the reason why the Yaivitz says porcelain is Potter is because it can't be fixed. Others, these are the Pischei, the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Pre-Tohar that says that what I was saying, which is if it's covered with glass, it's potter, for a different reason, because it's a safek derabanan lakula. Since the ikar chiyuv is only a safek, so you can be makel b'makom when we're dealing with glass. Okay. I guess the safek. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because you have to look it up. Maybe he thought that the Gemara only paskins Hilchosa Klei Kunyas Chayev because it's Deraisa, and therefore you can't jump. Or maybe there's some other suffix here. It's only one side. I'm not sure. You have to look it up. I don't know. So we'll lean that there for tomorrow. Look that up. But at the very least, if there is some, maybe saying it's because it's the other Sveikos, I'm not sure. The Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes, maybe it's because of the suffix, I don't know. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the Prima Gadim that if it's Mitsupa with Gloizert, what's Gloizert? So Gloizert, I think, is a thin, very thin layer of glass. In other words, the porcelain, the china, only is a very thin layer of glass, so lo yivarech even according to the shach, because maybe this is a tzipoy she'en bo mamash. Sounds like he's saying you should do tefilas kelim, but without a bracha. And therefore, l'chaor, according to this, glazed china would require tefila without a bracha. However, others disagree. The Archa Shochan writes, you don't have to be told for them at all, because this tzivoy that's very, very thin is just a sheen, and it's not part of the essential kli. And apparently nowadays many of the, it's not even a real, it's just like a spray. They spray on glass or sand that makes it shiny. And that many poskim write, among them Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is quoted by the Ohala Yeshurun in Chelak Aleph of Hilchos Tvilas Kelim Ha'ara 121. So Rav Moshe says you don't have to be Tovel glass, because the sheen, even if you're Machmir Neshaila, like Rabbi Kiveger suggests, that type of china that Rabbi Kiveger was talking about had a much thicker layer of glass on it. But our china, the layer of glass, if there is at all, is so thin, is so ein bo mamish, it's just to make it shinier or the like, then for sure, you don't have to be tovel. So if Moshe was makel, you don't have to be tovel china. And most of the poskim in YU, I believe, are makel as well. Rav Willig, Rav Schechter, are makel. You don't have to be tovel china. In the Yeshiva Shevelt, most people are tovel china. I think Rabbi Tendler said that the only reason anyone would be Tovel China is because they have nothing to do during Sheva Brachos week and they're bored. the Lemaisa, many people do Tovel China. Somebody told me once they had guests over for Shabbos, and in the middle of the meal they started, talking about the Tfilas Kelim, and they mentioned that their China is in Tovel, following with Moshe, and the other people didn't know what to do. Said, well, I could get you paper plates. So it was very embarrassing for everybody. So maybe somebody, maybe you want to be told for your china so you don't embarrass your guests. Yeah, we didn't want to ride that either. I guess, good hire. So there is a machlokas, a poskim, though, again, the poskim around here do seem to be makel. Yeah.
This is a question about Mani de Cunha. Isn't the chiyuv tevila a raya against the shitas that say that it's midin tuma? Because in tuma you say that the tzipu is bought for the kli. In like in I think in the maskan of the Giga is that all tzipu are bought for the kli. You're going to be mechayev of the kli because of the tzipu.
Okay, I hear. I don't know. Maybe. Sounds like if it's true for tefillah scale for tuma, then I hear the raya. Yeah.
So when the shach said that if something's covered with glass, it's like it's covered with metal. So first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, he's saying that you even would say it would make a bracha on the tefillah, correct?
Does the shach say you make a bracha?
I'm only saying that because when you quoted the Yehager.
Right. I think, I guess.
And then Yehager saying, but with Loiser, which is a thinner layer of glass,
right,
you would need Tefillah without a bracha. And then
right.
Moshe says, our China, which is even thinner than that,
right,
doesn't require Tefillah.
That's my understanding. Okay. The next question is Karel, which we already mentioned before. Karel is very similar to the question we just discussed. Why? Because on the one hand, as I said, in terms of ingredients, it's glass, really is glass. However, it can't be fused. Similar point for Corningware. Corningware, I think, has a little more charis in it, but the same idea. So Rav Moshe, in the original version of Rabbi the Ola Yeshurun, so he was Mekel. The Ola Yeshurun was he was like a ben bias by Rav Moshe. So he has many, many psakim in that sefer from Rav Moshe al peh that you don't find anywhere else. Rabbi Felder. So in the first version of the Ola Yeshurun, he said you're pater. According to the then in the second version, it says maybe you should be tovel with a bracha. So some say maybe Rav Moshe was chozer. Rav Willig says no. The halacha is like what it says in the first version. It's not clear that Rav Moshe was chozer. He says it very tentatively in the second version. So Rav Moshe seems to say you're pater from Karel. You could tie it's a shtickle Rav Moshe l'shitaso, because just like he said, aluminum foil's chayav because it shares that property of fusibility. So memela, karel, even though it's glass, but it lacks the property of fusibility, should be pater. Meaning to say, it's really the opposite shayla, right? Do we say that the takana was made for anything that's fusible, in which case it would include aluminum foil, or do we say that it's made on glass, in which case it would include karel? Again, that works well until you get to plastic. However, there are other poskim who say no, you definitely need a bitovel then, because lemaisa, we look at the material. Rabbi Forst, for example, is very into tefillas kelim on karel. I said Rabbi Willig is mekel.
Rabbi Forst is
machmir, very machmir. He's very thinks it's absolutely wrong not to be tovel karel.
With the bracha?
I don't know. You should check. It's hard to imagine he would say he should do with the bracha against Rav Moshe, but I don't remember. I just remember him being very stark about people who don't, about the importance of toveling karel. Double check though what he says about bracha. What about pyrex? So pyrex is definitely chayiv in tefillah with a bracha. It's schuchas mamish, the fact that they put in a little borax or the like, boron, doesn't really make it not glass. So I think everybody would say you do. You do tovel pyrex with the bracha. What about plastic? Let's take a look at the Darkei Tshuva Sifkan Yudalid. He quotes the Tshuvas Oel Avram, that since they have a takana by being merged together through Eish, so you're chayev in Tvilas Kalim. It's Bichlal the Gzeira of Schuchas. He quotes the Milami Lahoil, which is Yaradea Simin Mem Tes. That no, they only made a takana on plastic, and we don't have to make up on glass. Sorry, we don't have to make up our own takanos. And as I mentioned, Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish and Rav Henkin all said you don't need to do tefillah at all. This is these views are cited on the Tfilas Kalim book on page Reish Chav Zayin and the Chalkas Binyamin Sif Katan Zayin. And they say it's not like aluminum, which is Nikrai de Patish or the like.
I think the sign in the
Boris Mikvah says you have to do plastic, but not for the reason of the Darkei Tshuva. This was a takana that Rabbi Breuer made. Rabbi Breuer, as were many people in the 50s and 60s, was concerned that nishtakach toras tevila meYisrael, because all kelim would eventually be made out of plastic. Nobody would use metal or glass anymore. Like, that was the trend. And therefore, like, the whole mitzvah would be avru bato. It's the same reason why Rav Schwab didn't like Erevin, because people would forget about Hotza. Anyway.
That's in Gemara, though.
The same reason the first time.
Maybe, yeah. Is that what Rav says?
That's really the same reason why they didn't have an Erevin problem.
Uh-huh, okay.
That reason is the Gemara, though.
Yeah, so it's more rooted in a Gemara in some places than others, right? The minhag of putting the Erev down once a year. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that is the reason, at least why I'm told, why the Breuer's community says to be tovo plastic. If you look at the sign on the Breuer's mikvah, it's not because, though, it's not because of the Oel Avram's theory. Maybe it's Sira. Yeah.
What about, like, extremely hard plastic?
Asma.
In other words, there's some kelim that you can barely tell the difference between, like, Pyrex and...
But what do... I mean, what's it sad it needs to be less? If it's plastic, it's plastic. Even though it's hard. I can't think of a reason why the hardness of the plastic will make a difference in terms of tefillah scale.
And what's the reason that Ramoshi gives that white plastic would be...
He doesn't. It's not in the tshuva, so I don't know. It's hard to know. The reason why everybody else says is because the gzeira was made on glass. We don't have to make up new gzeiros. That's the Melamed Lahol's, the first to articulate that. What about, going back to Wakunya, Teflon or enamel? So Teflon, like on a pot or a frying pan, is a very thin layer of plastic that's meant to give it a non-stick surface. Enamel is is usually opaque, glassy substance that's applied usually to metal or other surfaces, either as ornamental or protective. You know, when we talked about before, Rav Moshe as porcelain dishwashers and porcelain sinks, I think when he said porcelain, he probably meant enamel.
Isn't enamel made out of glass?
Enamel could be glass or porcelain-like. Or other
things.
The
way you do it is you take a piece of glass and melt it on. That's mm-hmm. the way you enamel things.
Okay.
So isn't it just made out of glass?
So that would be, so the question is you have to be, you're saying if it's glass and it's glass either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Okay, so let's say you have a porcelain enamel. According to, I think some enamel must be cheres-like, because that's why everybody's talking about it. If it was glass, you could say manavshach, right? So what about Teflon or enamel? So do we say it's like clay kunya? And therefore, you would be tovel it without a bracha, assuming the bottom is metal, right? Like a Teflon pan, or not. So maybe we would say that this is such a insignificant coating, then it wouldn't be. So in the Sefer Tfilas Kalim, page Kuftari Hei Ha'arav Vav, he writes that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach said you should be tovel without a bracha, because after all, the Teflon pan is coated, right? It's coated in plastic. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, this is in Sefer Ola Yeshurun, Hara 56, that you are chayv to be tovel with a bracha, because at least Teflon is a tzipoy she'ein bo mamish. And therefore, this is not enough of a tzipoy to pater a kli from a bracha. Okay, we talked about baby spoons and maimed. Okay, next topic is, what time is it? Negia be'ochel. So the Rama writes in Sif Zion that if you have a kli that requires tefillah, it, well, if you have a kli that's made from two types of material, one that's tum tvila and one that's not tum tvila, so you only need to do tvila if the part of the kli that touches the ochel is tum tvila and is also part of the ikar hakli, meaning to say it's necessary. So like a rechaim shel pilpulin is the example, where even though the most of the rechaim are made out of eights, but the part that actually functions in the crushing is made out of barzel, so that needs tevila. But if the part that's metal is not important at all, like it's just a band or a rim, or your example, Josh, of something that's decorative, then even if it's on the inside of the kli, it doesn't need tevila. So, for example, let's say you have china. So some china might have, you might have a, like a decorative metal golden rim or silver rim or something like that. And it actually touches the food, but it's mitsupe purely for decoration. Even in that case, we paskin that you don't need to do tefillah. This is sort of like what we saw before from the smak, that if it's just lanai, it doesn't have chashivas and it doesn't require tefillah. So if it's not needed in ishtam shasakli and it's just decorative and it's not, it's just like a very small portion also, then you don't need to do tefillah. So that comes up a lot in China. Assuming you don't kasha your china, the fact that there's a metal rim or band or something like that in the middle of your china is not going to be mechayev tefillah. Take a look if you want in the Chalkos Ben Yamin, Os Nun Hei. Okay. Next, disposable kalim. What's the halacha? So this is what everybody wants to know. So let's assume for the moment that aluminum is chayev in tefillah, whether it's deraisa or derabanan. What about aluminum pans? Do you say that they're chayev in tefillah or not? So what is the issue? So there's a big machlokas poskim about that. I'm going to cite a number of poskim on this, but if you want to take a look, there's a discussion in the Tefillas Kalim Sefer, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, and the Chalkos Ben Yamin, I forgot where it is, I wrote it down somewhere. Also, okay, so we'll start. So, the first opinion is the Tshuvas Chalkos Yaakov, Chelak Gimel Simen Kuftes Vav. And he writes that since they're disposable, they don't have a status of a kli l'inyan kabbalas tuma, and he cites the Rambam in Hilchos Kelim Perkei Halacha Zayin that there's actually two Rambams in Perk Beis Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Kelim. The Rambam writes ha'osek klei kibul mikol makom harezim kabbal tuma b'chol shehu min atayra. Skipping a little, v'hu sheyased davar shel kayama sheefsher sheyamod. But if not, then it wouldn't be. And then in Parakeh Halacha Zayin, he writes, "V'chein keren shumishtamish ba mashlicha, eina mekabelas tuma, v'mchishav aleha mekabelas tuma." Now the second halacha is more significant than the first halacha. The first halacha tells us that if it's not efshar shiyamod, it's not mekabel tuma. So if you had something that's disposable that falls apart, right? Like that really you could only use one time. I don't know something that's chayv and tefillah that would be like that, but let's say those paper cups that you get that are made out of paper, like at the dentist's office, right? If you tried to use that more than once, they would turn to mush. So that is definitely not mekabel tuma. And then the Rambam also says that in Parakei that if it's something that your mishtamish ba umashlicha, it's ein mekabel tuma. Unless chishe valeh, so that seems to be talking about something that could potentially last, but still, since the way it's used is as a disposable kli, so it's pater from kabbalas tuma, and therefore the Chalkos Yaakov says that we should learn out from there to here. Now, as we noted, that's already a chiddush, because not everybody agrees that we extrapolate from Tumen Tahara to Tefillas Kelim. These sources are also cited by Rav Moshe in Yeridei Chelek Gimel Simen Chaf Beis and Simen Chaf Gimel. But again, not Pashut, because we saw some machlokas between Tosfos and the Maharam by Maimid, and we paskin Lahachmir. So, some go further, and this is the, you could see this far in the Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Ke Simen Lamed Beis, and he says, not only do they not, are they not Kalim Lagabe Kabbalah's Tumah, but they're not Kalim at all. Well, if they're not Kalim at all, then it's Pashut, not Pashut, but it's very reasonable, very mistaber, that you wouldn't be chayv to do Tfilas Kalim, right? That doesn't require the equation to Tumah and Tahara. They're simply not Kalim. Now, Rabbi Willig was very hesitant to accept this view because it might have implications for other halachos, like netil sidayim with a plastic cup or kiddush with a plastic cup. Take a look at Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Gimel Simen Lamed Tes that talks about that for Birkas HaMazon and for kiddush. And he concludes, he says you shouldn't because it's disposable, but then he says, Kshaleka kos acher, yesh lahakel. Didn't say why exactly. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Chelek Beis Perek Mem Zayin Harin and Aleph, quotes from the Tzitz Eliezer that it's mutter lechatchila to use a plastic cup. Rabbi Willig thinks that Mikra Adina does have a shame kli, and therefore you could use it for Netil Sadaim and Kish, so thinks if you could, you know, get a non-disposable kli, you should, but if you have, you know, you have no other keli available, you could use it. So that's the first reason. Now, Rav Moshe writes that even if you use it two or three times, still it doesn't need tefillah because it's not ra'ui lamod yamim rabim. So you could argue that that's only if it's in ra'ui lamod yamim rabim. Maybe you could say aluminum pans, so you could use them two or three times, but you can't use them forever. But let's say a Snapple bottle, so that's totally ra'ui lamod yamim rabim. If people don't use it that way generally, but if you wanted to use a Snapple bottle for years, you could. There would be nothing stopping you. And therefore, it's not clear that Rav Moshe would be willing to be mako. If you take a look at the Chelkas Binyamin, that's, oh, here it is, Sifkaten Mem Tes, he writes, Bekitzer, there are three tzadim lahakel. He's mako for disposables. Number one is it's not a kli l'kabel tumah, like we said. Number two is that it's ein arai l'shimush keva, and therefore they weren't misakein tefilas kelim for it. And here again, there's two variations. You need ein arai l'shimush keva, in which case it wouldn't apply to a Snapple bottle, or ein omed l'shimush keva, in which case it might apply to a Snapple bottle. And the third svar, he says, is it's not chashuv. So because of these svaros, Rav Willig thinks that you don't need to be tovel them. And then Rav Willig says, and this same svar is offered by Rabbi Bluth, quoted in the Tfilas Kelim Sefer. Bluth was a major Talmud of Rav Moshe. He says, not only that, but then let's say you decide to use your aluminum pans for a long time, or your Snapple bottle for a long time. That, too, is okay. Why? Because who made it into a kli? The Yisrael. Since it wasn't a kli originally, because it was omed for disposal, so who made it into a kli? Me. I'm Jewish. So now it's a Jewish kli. So therefore, not only could you use your Snapple bottle once, but you could use it as many times as you want. Rav Schechter, on the other hand, we'll have to talk about this a little more tomorrow, is machmir on the Snapple bottles. He thinks that since they're ra'ui to be used for a long time, you can't be makel. Now, that doesn't mean, so therefore, you don't have to dump it out immediately when you buy it. Then it's just storing it. We'll talk about that more next time. but at least when you want to drink, you can't drink from a Snapple bottle, you have to pour it into a cup. So Be'ezras Hashem, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay, have a good day. Yes, in both cases, it's omed for disposal, and therefore it doesn't need shila, and therefore if you decide to use it, so then you're the one creating. Not everybody likes Rabbi Blue's svara and Rabbi Bullock's svara, but I believe.